2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Nightside. This is The Nightside Project.
As long as I'm with you guys, I'm always in the fake good place.
Nightside on KSL, a limited edition spring season.
It's weird, though, doing the show while we're miles apart.
That's actually my favorite part. I cannot social distance myself from you enough.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey, streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
Welcome to the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Miller. Thanks so much for joining us on this special edition, this limited edition spring season. That's what it is of the Nightside Project.
Tongue-tied.
I know. Thanks for doing this. I'm Ethan Miller. I've got Andy Farnsworth here filling in for Alex Carey, who right now is touring his estate. He just moved.
Yes.
And he's finally getting a
chance. Do you think he has the butler
to...
shuttling him around, or is he actually doing it on foot?
I think he's using the helicopter.
The helicopter, of course.
I think it's a combination of helicopter and horseback. So,
well, he does have an Olympic-sized pool with the actual three platforms for his kids to train for Olympic diving.
And an out-of-work Olympian. He just has them swimming back and forth just all day and all night, just back and forth. Because an Olympic pool deserves an Olympic swimmer.
Really? That's so true.
I can confirm, though, that it is not what's-his-face.
It's not what's-his-face.
You know, the guy that won all the medals.
Michael Phelps.
It is not.
I can't believe I got that right.
Is now Michael Phelps.
Mark Spitz?
No comment.
That's from the 70s.
No,
that's not Bruce Jenner.
All right. You ready for some headlines?
Yeah.
I've got some headlines. All right. First up. Now, the way we do these headlines is we just kind of move through them. This is designed to just – I've just got kind of a couple of the major headlines that I put in here. So,
okay.
You know, we don't need to talk about any of these at any great length or even at all. I just kind of tee these up, and sometimes they go some places. Sometimes they fall flat.
Okay.
And I feel bad for the rest of the night. Okay. You ready?
Okay.
All right. Congress will probably have to pass more legislation to mitigate the damage from the coronavirus. That's according to Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. The Kentucky Republican said a measure to lift the U.S. economy would have a more narrow scope than the $3 trillion package that was approved by House Democrats earlier this month. He says that they're going to monitor what's happening in the various states in order to over the next couple of weeks in order to see what they ultimately want to do. But one thing they definitely want to do is make sure that unemployment insurance is properly funded for as long as is needed, of course, because tens of millions of people are out of work. So
to me, I think that's the best use of the funds.
You think so?
I think because it addresses need, like the people who have filed for unemployment are the ones who immediately need it. And, of course, it was a challenge to get them all signed up.
Yeah, that's
and I don't even know if they've successfully got everybody on now.
But I think something that is worth thinking about, too, and what we're really seeing is that the U.S. has a consumer-based economy.
Oh, yes.
And so it's not like past economies in American history. The U.S. can't buy up timber and save the economy. They got to book hotel rooms, you know, the government, right? They got to book hotel rooms. They got to, you know, open Gap cards. And so I think that's why there is such a focus, too, to put money in people's pockets is because that's
so that
what businesses need. Businesses don't need the government to come in and buy up all the oil. Businesses need individual consumers with enough buying power and confidence to get online or to go to the store and buy their stuff. That's what the economy relies on now. And
well, let me ask you something. Have you cut back on anything that you used to buy?
I've cut back on everything.
Okay.
I mean, if it's not groceries, I haven't bought it.
Really?
Yeah.
Why not?
Well, in part because I can't go to a store. I like in-person shopping. Secondly, you know, a lot of what I would buy in the past is to support a lifestyle that I don't live right now.
But then doesn't that hurt the people who supplied you with the things?
Yeah.
See, I actually agree with you. I think one positive that could come out of this is a correction of sorts. The challenge is getting there because of so many people who had everything based on the old way. You know, it's going to be a while before people, I think, will feel comfortable going in public places in numbers that they used to. Even when they turn things green, there will be some areas, I think, that will get back to what it was before quicker than others. But, I mean, for some people, I know people who don't ever want to really go into a crowd again until there is a coronavirus vaccine.
Well,
and not before.
I'll tell you this, and I mean things are changing, and I'm doing things differently than I did last month. But you're right. I will not fully adjust my habits until we have a vaccine, and that's how I see. Or at least a meaningful treatment that makes it so that if you get this. Sickness,
mm-hmm.
that it can be effectively treated. Because right now it's a crapshoot. You know, I mean, one guy who's, you know, healthy, fit, 35-year-old, he gets it and is sick for a day. Another guy, healthy and fit, 35-year-old, gets it and double pneumonia, dead.
Or dies of a stroke.
Or organ failure. It's just, you just don't know. And that's the part that's so crazy. And so I feel like, well, I'd rather wait it out. I don't know what else to do, but anyway.
Well, but that's the tough call. Everybody has to make that choice, and that's not an easy choice to make. I know that, you know, I felt bad. In fact, we actually patronized a couple of businesses at the beginning of the pandemic that we didn't before, just because I got, like I said, we got a family of eight, so going out to eat can get real expensive. I have to look at bottom line cost a lot of times about where I spend my food dollars, and my wife's really good about, you know, making food, so we don't go out a lot, but I also felt like I should go out and spend some money. I can. I'm still working. I ought to do something to help some of these businesses. And then they said you should, you know, go to local places. And I wanted to go to local places, but I never really went to the local places before, mm-hmm. again, because of cost. So I have actually gone to some places I didn't go before just to try to help them out. But once things kind of normalize, I don't know how often I'll go again.
Yeah.
You know, a texter says, when will you guys fly again? When would you get on a plane again, Ethan?
Oh, well, I don't know.
More willing to do it if I had somewhere to go.
Yeah.
Like, I could go to Hawaii, but then what do I do? Sit around and do nothing?
Here's the next headline. Apple is reopening 100 more retail stores in the United States this week after it closed them all because of coronavirus.
Well, if you've ever been in an Apple store, that was probably wise.
Most of the stores will only offer curbside or storefront services, which means customers can visit for appointments at the Genius Bar or order online and pick up at the stores, not go in and browse. The 40 stores are around 40 stores across Arizona, California, Florida, Georgia, Nevada, South Carolina, Texas, and Virginia will allow walk-in customers. No word on Utah's store. We only have one. No, we have two Apple stores, right?
Well, we have the one at City Creek.
Uh-huh, and one at Fashion Place.
Fashion Place, okay. That actually brings up a completely different question, and I only know this because I was looking to replace my phone that I've had for 5 years. And when I went in to look at some phones, I was like, do I really want to pick these up and touch them? Like, how many times, you know, water being the great enemy of phones.
Yeah.
You'd hope they clean them off. But, you know, thinking about the Apple store, that's everybody's touching it.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
How long before you'd feel comfortable going into a store, especially an electronics store? Clothing, I might be a little bit more, a little less skittish personally, but an electronics store where literally the only thing you can do with the product there is to put it in your hands and touch it and feel it.
Next up on our headlines, not Zen headlines, but some business owners across the United States have found an innovative solution to the problem of getting out and doing things during the coronavirus. That's drive-in theaters. Outdoor cinema venues have been popping up all over the country in recent weeks. Local small business owners who have been forced to shut down operations have been reopening old drive-ins or building makeshift theaters in parking lots and showing old movies to customers to make up for lost income.
I think that's a great idea. And we have a great drive-in theater here in Salt Lake County at the Redwood Drive-In. It's about like 3800 South and Redwood Road. And we go there once a year. I do the early schedule, so I can't have my sleep messed up that bad. But it's a great way to watch a movie. We actually did a neighborhood coronavirus drive-in where one of our neighbors put up their big inflatable screen and we watched something each parked in our cars separate from each other. That's about the safest way to see a movie right now is sitting in your vehicle. I think that's great. I know there's a drive-in screen down in Springville, and I think there is – there used to be one in Tooele, but I don't know if it's still there. I'm sure our texters could help correct me on that.
I've been to a few drive-in theaters, but I will say this.
It's fun.
I've always thought it was a better idea than it was an actual experience.
Did you take your kids with you?
No.
That makes a difference.
Because, and here's the problem too, is I felt like you had to be in the front seat.
No. You turn around backwards. Open up the back. Sit in the trunk. Set up some chairs around. You don't have to sit in your car. It's not like the 1950s where you're going to put your arm around your girl and the speaker in the windows, you know, fog up the – it's none of that. Yeah. Not if you take your family anyway.
There's an Apple store in Farmington someone texted in.
Ah, okay. Up at the Farmington Station Park, I'm guessing.
Yeah. So we have at least three.
Okay.
Maybe we have more. I don't know. But I haven't been out, but I guess they're not open right now.
I think they wait until it's a little bit warmer or they wait till it gets dark later because it's a double feature. That's one of the fun things about it. It's a double feature. You pay for your car and you're allowed to bring your own treats or you can buy from there. And it's just fun. I think it was fun as a family activity. You know, grab a neighbor or somebody so that you can go. You can stay.
You don't have to only talk to your family?
Well, I'm just saying it makes it more fun like for the kids to hang out with somebody else too.
Yeah.
But you know, you got to get your own sound. They broadcast it, and you bring your own thing and tune your radio to it. I think it's a good thing. I think somebody texted in. They went to Fat Cats this weekend, saw an indoor movie. I know that the Megaplex is doing a family rental, the Larry H. Miller Megaplex, where for, I don't remember how much, you can rent for 20 up to 20 people, and then you get the whole theater to yourself.
Yeah, that was a cool idea.
But it's fun to do it in a car. Even give it a chance. Take the kids, give it a chance when the Redwood Drive-In opens. Or, you know, get your neighbors together, with permission, of course.
Go to...
No drive-in in Springville anymore. Darn it. Art City was torn down in the 90s. I just remember seeing the big screen when I'd drive off the freeway there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a break here. And when we come back on the Nightside Project, we're going to reminisce. Because guess what? Tech was invented 25 years ago. Yes, technology. Of course, there was more tech before that. But modern tech really kicked into gear about 25 years ago, and we're going to talk about some of those moments where you used tech and thought, this changes everything, on the Nightside Project on KSL News Radio.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.